Hi, everybody. So this is our youth room, which I haven't done a video from yet. And it's a pretty standard youth room, foosball table, well, no foosball table, but an air hockey table, requisite televisions and couches and the usual things you'd find in a youth room. And it's a pretty quiet place. It's fully carpeted, which is unusual in our offices and in our building. Most of it has tile. So it's really quiet in here compared to the rest of the building. So anyway, first run for the youth room videos. Today, I want to read a section from Romans chapter 8. That's Romans chapter 8. We've started studying Romans in our men's Bible study and our women's Bible study, and we haven't even got through chapter 1 yet, so chapter 8's a ways off, but it's our epistle reading for today. So I thought that I would read the section that we have for our epistle reading, and it starts at verse 18. So it's Romans 8, starting at verse 18. And Paul writes this. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is not seen, or hope that is seen, is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." So that's our reading for today. There's a lot in there that Paul is writing about waiting. And so I thought of one of my favorite books, The Places You'll Go, Dr. Seuss. And I'm sure some of you have read it before, and maybe you haven't, but I'm only gonna read one section of it. And it is from the waiting place, it says. So I'll start here with the picture. You can see. And it says, "You can get so confused that you'll start into race down long wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdish wild space, headed, I fear, toward a most useless place, the waiting place." And here's the waiting place. I put pictures of it on my Facebook page if you haven't seen those yet. But that's the waiting place. It's kind of where we all are right now, I think. We spend a lot of our time waiting. And so here it is, the waiting place for people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for wind to fly a kite, waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting. That's what we're doing. Paul is writing about waiting. But his waiting is not so desperate as Dr. Seuss's waiting. In fact, he uses words to describe Well, I don't know. Maybe it is just as distressful, because he says right now we're waiting and we're in this in-between place, this waiting place, what we sometimes will call the now and not yet. We live in a time of now and not yet, in the sense that we live now, day to day, but there's a something yet to come, a not yet. It hasn't arrived yet. And we're living as if it has already arrived, but it's not here quite yet. So it's this sort of strange in-between place that we live as sinner saints, as God's holy people, as children, followers of Jesus. We're in this in-between waiting place. And right now, it's a tough place. And Paul writes about that. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time, now he'll go on to explain that they're not worth comparing to the what it is we're waiting for, but he doesn't deny the suffering. In fact, he says, all of creation, everything that has been made that is made, as the scriptures say, is waiting. And it's expecting, and it's wondering, and it's suffering in the meantime. And Paul uses these words. He says, suffering, groaning, futility, bondage, decay, weakness, longing, waiting. This is us. This is us. We're in all of those things. And not just because of our current circumstances. I mean, that just like exacerbates everything and shows it if you didn't understand it before. Boy, this really ought to show you what it's like to have to wait and sit in this suffering and groaning. And to me, as I read these words of Paul, I'm humbled to know that it's just not me, or it's not just me. It's everything, all of creation, the trees, the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, the fish, the birds, they're all waiting. They may not realize it, being either animate or inanimate, whatever you want to consider it. They, you know, of course, aren't sitting there twiddling their thumbs. The trees aren't doing that, but they're all waiting. And they're waiting for this incredible revealing, this revelation of the sons of God, this revelation of the glory of God, this time when all of the suffering and bondage and decay and everything will be released. That great sort of gasp of fresh air after you've been holding your breath. In very limited terms, when you take off your mask after you've been wearing it all day, you know, that kind of, oh my gosh, I can breathe. But Paul says our waiting isn't just sitting around. You know, we do spend a lot of our time waiting, even when things weren't this bad, you know, going to the DMV or the, you know, the Secretary of State, depending on which state you're in. You do a lot of waiting. You wait for test results. You wait for answers to come back on an exam. You wait for, you know, your unemployment check or your Social Security check or whatever the case may be. We do a lot of waiting. But a lot of that waiting is pretty like, there's nothing I can do in the meantime. I'm just going to sit and twiddle my thumbs, right? And wait for it to come around. But Paul's waiting, he uses these words. He uses eager longing. And we are eagerly waiting. That's the best way to put what Paul is talking about. That in this time of waiting, we're not just sitting here waiting for the commercial to end. We're excitedly, expectingly waiting for something exciting to happen. So I'll give you a couple of comparisons. Remember being a kid on Christmas Eve. that you couldn't even go to sleep because you were so excited about what tomorrow meant. You know, even the presents under the tree and the relatives coming over and the excitement, you couldn't hardly stand it. That's the waiting. That's our waiting is that sort of, we can't stand it. We're so excited. We're looking forward to whatever it is that God has planned for us. We can't bear to just sit around. We have to be doing stuff. The other waiting I thought about was, when the ice cream truck is coming. Now, this one's kind of interesting because, you know, Christmas, we see it sort of building up and building up and building up, and we kind of get excited over a long period of time. When it comes to the ice cream truck, you only have one word of warning or one signal. You start to hear those bells, and you get like super, ice cream truck's coming. And I know Eddie Murphy, the comedian, did a bit on this a while long ago, and it was really funny. But it's that same kind of thing that you hear it. You know it's coming. You can't wait for it to make it around the turn. And so you run upstairs and you get your change that you can find out of your piggy bank or ask mom and dad for a couple of bucks to get a popsicle or ice cream cone. And you go running out and you're waiting at the street and you're waiting and you hear it coming and you just can't stand it. That's eagerly waiting. Sort of craning your neck around to see if something special is coming your way. That's the kind of waiting that Paul is talking about. And we do that even in the midst of the suffering that we're enduring, because we know. We know because our faith tells us, the Holy Spirit informs us and enlivens us, because we know that whatever it is that God has planned on the other side of this waiting, is far greater, far more amazing, unimaginable, wonderful, blissful, whatever you want to call it, more than these things are hard. Again, Paul doesn't deny the struggles of this life. All of creation struggles in this life. We all do. Some of us seem to struggle way more than others. Some seem to have that short end of the stick or the wrong deal of the cards, however you want to put it, and it just looks like they're having a hard time with everything. And sometimes we feel that way. And Paul doesn't deny it. He says, yeah, we groan. We groan inwardly, sometimes audibly. We groan. Because it's hard sometimes. Life is not easy, no matter what. No matter who you are, life is not easy. Even if you want to sort of live in blissful ignorance or whatever the case may be, life is not easy. And Paul goes on to say that even sometimes we don't even know. We don't even know what to say when we pray. Life is so much of a struggle. Life is so much suffering. We don't even know how to put it in words to God. And so he says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit steps in and says, I know you can't put this to words. Let me do it. And so the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and speaks to God himself in words that we can't possibly understand, in groanings that don't make, you know, audible sounds in our ears. All we know is our suffering. And through faith, we know that the Holy Spirit takes that for us and deals with that for us. So we live in that in-between waiting place. We live in that in-between what we have now and what God has planned for us. And we live not waiting for, I guess, a sense of, you know, lightning bolt from heaven or something like that. We live as if that's already a done deal. So even in the midst of that suffering, even in the midst of our struggle, we live with such a confidence of God's promises to us. We live with such a confidence of God's grace and His mercy for us. We live with such a confidence of what Jesus did on the cross and in the grave and in the resurrection and in the ascension that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are far greater things in this life and the next for us. So that waiting isn't again like Dr. Seuss's waiting, that waiting place where people are just sitting around. Everyone is just waiting for the fish to bite or wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for a pair of pants or another chance, or waiting around for the plane to go or the mail to come or the rain to go or for the snow to snow. They're just waiting. We, as Christians, we don't just sit around. We wait in eagerness. We wait in expectation. We wait in hope. We wait in certainty of the promise. We wait with tangible, exciting excitement in our hearts. As I explained in service today, that post-communion prayer that talks about how we have been strengthened in our faith through communion, through the body and blood of Christ. That's another thing we do while we're waiting, is we partake of that holy communion where God forgives us our sins and strengthens our faith. And we say that He strengthens our faith so that we can love God, and in fervency or in fervent love for one another. So we wait in fervent love. Now that word fervent, I'll explain it if you don't know. And it's one of my favorite words because it comes from the same root word as effervescent. So when we say that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Communion and God's forgiveness stirs up in us a fervent love, it's a fizzy, an effervescent love. It's a love that keeps us active, a love that drives us, a love that, like ginger ale, tickles your nose and keeps you going. That's what that is while we're waiting. It's not just sitting around. It's an active, it's a serving, it's a loving, it's a participating, it's a waiting with love and faith and joy, even in the midst of the suffering, which makes all of this so confusing for others who don't really know. And that's our prayer, is that others would know this excitement, this hope, this mercy, this grace, so that while we're waiting together, we can do so with excitement, with fervency, with effervescence. So we're not just sitting around waiting. We're active, excited, expecting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit, who instills in us a sense of excitement and joy as we live in the now of suffering and the now of futility and the now of weakness, that through Your Holy Spirit we would live in the not yet of freedom and joy and strength and service to You and to one another. Help us in these days, by Your presence, to know Your Son Jesus Christ, in Him crucified, risen, and ascended. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.